Hello everybody, it's George from Ireland, so welcome back to the channel. And in this video, I'm talking about the new sanctions on Russia that the United States have announced a few days ago. So there have been some sanctions on Russia by the United States and several other Western countries, dating way back to 2014, the invasion of Crimea, Luhansk and Donetsk, these various regions of Ukraine. But they were quite limited to begin with. Remember, the cordiality between Western countries and Russia in the noughties stretched on into the 2010s, not wanting to ruin that. Would it be an overreaction? And Putin read the Western psychology correctly, is quite soft, quite avaricious, and he managed to stuff their mouths with gold. A bit like after the murder of Litvinenko in London in 2006, there was an awful lot of Russian money flowing into the United Kingdom. And then it was the Labour government of the UK. Her Majesty's government did not want to clear the pitch for that. There are all these state agents, schools, whoever, banks saying, come on, no, don't kill the goose that lays the golden egg. Of course, the majority of Russians are not guilty about this. And that's the trouble about these conflicts, is that there will be good and bad people on both sides. A lot of innocent people are going to suffer, I mean, even if only pecuniarily. So the sanctions were restricted. Only gradually they ramped up. And obviously, we all know that Putin, he's all about force, so you have to hurt him financially. That would be a deterrent, and it's often been a slap on the wrist. It's only now they're getting firm. And the other difficulty about sanctioning is sanctions is by hurting the wrongdoer country, one also hurts oneself, because there'll be counter sanctions. Moreover, your people will miss out on exports. They can make money. They'll miss out on imports from Russia. They might be able to do import substitution, purchase it from elsewhere. It might be more expensive. It might be poorer quality, as there's less of whatever commodity on the market. The price will go up because of scarcity and so forth. We know that sanctions are never entirely effectual. I mean, to do with South Africa under sanctions, there are workarounds, and it is obviously not sanctions on their own do these things, but the totality of sanctions plus military aid to Ukraine, plus being sent to Moral Coventry and so forth, that can eventually have the desired outcome. You know, you look at far smaller, feebler and more impecunious countries like North Korea, Cuba being under sanctions for decades and still hasn't forced a change. Has sometimes pressured them to make mild concessions. It depends how hermetically sealed these societies are, how much the regime can force people to suffer. But certainly they don't like it. And then there's all this nonsense, or frank lies, in the Russian state media saying, oh, sanctions are good for us. They actually are good for certain sectors of the Russian economy, saying, well, they can't purchase the item abroad, now they've got to purchase from us, so we're making more money out of that. But it's obviously bad for the general population. So if sanctions are really such a delightful thing for Russia, why do they complain about them? Why any counter sanctions? Why not say, yeah, please? Or why not say, we'll actually not buy anything or sell anything to you? But we go on. So what was announced on the 13th of June is that over 300 entities in Russia and indeed various other countries were sanctioned, who were allegedly expediting the evasion of sanctions. These included things in the People's Republic of China, Turkey, South Africa, and the United Arab Emirates. Well, no surprise about China there. South Africa neutral on the Ukraine conflict, and the ANC government says, well, Russia, which is the primary successor state of the Soviet Union, aided us in our fight against apartheid, and so we have a debt of honor to them. But obviously, this is imbecilic and just ahistorical. Ukraine, therefore, is also responsible helping to bring down apartheid. And Russia's got this racist system of oppression, attempting the erasure of Ukrainians as a people. Now, I think Putin is willing to accept Ukrainians so long as they regard themselves as a type of Russian. The point is, he has to see Ukraine as a region and not a nation. If you look at the surnames, even the people in his cabinet, some of them clearly have some Ukrainian ancestry. I mean, it might be just like 1/16th, or even Svetlana Matvienko, but it's her husband is partially Ukrainian, one of the most senior women in Russian politics. They're the only woman so far ever to be governor of St. Petersburg. So anyway, lots of entities which were said to be buying and selling Russian liquid natural gas, they've come under sanctions. So there are more sanctions which have been labeled by the United States to be part of Russia's military industrial complex. So meaning that American citizens can't buy from them, sell to them, trade with them either directly or indirectly. So some of the most prominent entities which have been struck by these sanctions are the Moscow Exchange and the Russian National Clearing Center. So the United States is attempting to prevent people making any profit from Russian sovereign debt. And it looks like Russia's going to need to borrow more and more. So it's going to be very difficult for Russia to borrow money in international markets, where it does settle be on more unfavorable terms, maybe smaller amounts, but higher interest rates, having to repay over shorter timescales and so on. So the list of exposure targets under these sanctions is now 4,500, which is staggering. So Janet Yellen, she's the United States Secretary of the Treasury, said, the sanctions, they will limit Russia's ability to gain access to all sorts of equipment, particularly in the spheres of information technology, software, various materials from other countries, because Russia is not good at tech. Obviously, there is Russian manufacturing, but there's nothing, almost nothing sophisticated they produce. Even their military technology is a generation behind that of the Occident. So often these rely on microprocessors and so on, microchips or whatever, from Western countries. And so the Ukrainians are often showing these drones, missiles, rockets they've shot down, and they've often got components from Western countries which have been bought through third countries. So, you know, the West has been really feeble on this one. The thing is, you could start out by making an example of some of the poorer countries which are selling items onto Russia, like Kyrgyzstan, Tajikistan, sanction them heavily to put the frighteners on Kazakhstan or Turkey or whoever, that if you carry on doing this, we'll sanction you. Now, you could sanction everyone straight away, but that might push them more into Russia's camp. The economic price for pro-Ukrainian countries might be too high. Now, I don't want Russians to suffer or Ukrainians, anyone to suffer. It would end in one day. It would never have started if Putin hadn't started his illegal war of aggression. Withdraw now and nobody will ever be killed again. And we can all go home and all the sanctions can lift and we can all be safe and there is no problem. Okay? Now, unfortunately, that's not going to happen. But sanctions are bringing this closer. So obviously hasn't ended the war, but has raised the cost for Russia. We often say, oh, the Russian economy is growing. This is often based on Russia's own economic data, which would be a lie like everything else. I don't doubt that it is growing, but maybe not as much as they say, maybe 1% per annum rather than 3% per annum. But various pundits have said, you know, overall, since the start of the war, they've grown something like 5%. Were it not for that, they would have grown more like 10%. So yeah, it has cost them hundreds of billions of dollars. You think, go back to 2014. I mean, it's easily over $1 trillion they've lost in sanctions. And obviously Russia's adversaries have lost something in sanctions, but nothing even remotely even approaching that. Problems with the oil and gas industry, because they rely on often Western technology, Western engineers, making it more difficult, more expensive, or sometimes impossible to get the harder to reach oil and gas. But Russia's still got quite a lot of it. So, I mean, where is Russia, you know, 30 years hence? If you know, we've moved beyond hydrocarbons. They're rather screwed. We will have quite a few metals, and they've not put the money in to just going beyond hydrocarbons, because they think with the vastest land area in the world, they could capture so much solar power, wind power, wave power. They've got so much farmland, and on and on. They've got cheap labor. They could have an easy regulatory framework. They could have a welcoming investment climate, and it's all been pissed away in these wars of aggression, which to get the one thing they don't need, which is more land. The country with the vastest land area in the world does not urgently need more land. There are other things they do need. They're just not solving real problems. And I don't blame ordinary Russians. Some of them are just innocent dupes of Putin. But yeah, be frank that some of them really are bad. Obviously, you find bad people in every country, in every cause, just about. So it's making it more unattractive for foreign banks to deal with Russia because the secondary sanctions that they're going to have to contend with. But these new US sanctions, they only take effect from the 13th of August this year. That was a 2-month warning period for banks in the middle of whatever transaction, you can end it now. But because perhaps it'd be unfair to say this kicks in instantly, banks would lose money if they're halfway through something. But the trouble is, this is allowing Russia to find workarounds. Okay, so anyway, the very same day, Russia hit back by saying, we're suspending trading in United States dollars and euros in the Moscow Exchange. But that will hurt Russia more than anybody else. So natural persons and indeed companies will still be allowed to purchase euros and American dollars if they do it through lenders. And the Russian central bank has said, well, deposits in these currencies are still safe, but they've always sort of moved towards using renminbi with China. And that's working somewhat effectively. Chinese banks are increasingly chary about dealing with Russia, but how does all this economic data leak about who's doing what with which bank? Because Russia's increasingly making this stuff secret to try and evolve avoid secondary sanctions. So it's all very difficult for Russia to de-escalate from this. They want sanctions lifted. We know it hurts them because Putin, in his so-called peace offer, said, "And but we will have to end the sanctions." If the sanctions weren't harmful for Russia, why on earth would you say that's a precondition for a ceasefire? And obviously, it's going to get worse, but it's not hurt them as much or as soon as people forecast, including myself. And so, most of these Western businesses have pulled out. We've got to stop it completely. Isn't that Austrian oil company there? Prevent people, pro-Ukrainian citizens, going there, partly because that's funding Russia, bringing money in, bringing your knowledge and skills in. Moreover, you could be used as a hostage, just arrested, false accused of espionage, or maybe massive fines for those who go there, something like that. And I wish the situation was normalized, but sadly, I don't think it's going to happen for years. So most Western companies are pulled out. Those are still there. Maybe they deserve what they get. They lose anything, and Russia can't hit back. There are not that many Western assets to confiscate since this asset freeze. Not much they can confiscate in Russia, by way of vengeance. Anyway, thank you for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon. Donate to PayPal, georgecallahan79@gmail.com. Goodbye.